Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fuchina Carcanal, and it's always a pleasure and a privilege to be with you tonight. It has been a very interesting road. I've been on a hiatus. Can't wait to tell you about it and just talk about how God is awesome. But I never start my show off without prayer, so let's just go into it. So, Father, we just thank you for who you are, who you have been, who you are now, and who you will be. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for peace. We thank you for, most of all, your unconditional love. I thank you for who you are. And you are awesome, Lord. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. And I thank you for those who are chiming in tonight and those who are trying to chime in and maybe not able to do it as well. I thank you for all the things that has happened has led me up here from the hiatus I had to take and where we are today, Lord. And as we move forward with Chronicles of a Fonda Woman and we remember the purpose of this show and the vision that you have given me and to fulfill, for me to continue to fill that vision for you. I thank you, Lord, and I ask you that you please forgive me and forgive all others, Lord, who have been on the show and those who get ready to come on the show for anything, a thought, word, and deed. And Lord, I ask that you decrease me and that so you may get the increase. And I ask and invite your Holy Spirit to come in right now in the name of Jesus and take over the show. This topic that you gave tonight is such an awesome one. And Lord, as I move forward tonight, I put you in the head. I put you in the head, and I just thank you, and I praise you, and it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. I thank you for those that the message is designed for, and that this vision that you've given me is designed to touch and reach, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. So, once again, I want to say thank you for joining and tuning in for another episode for Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. The last time we were on the air, just to give you a quick rewind of what had happened. I got into a car accident and it totaled my car. And it was interesting because I was coming back home from Charlotte with my son in the car, and I was leaving my nephew party, and we had the birthday party for my nephew. And it's always on that long stretch, 40 miles outside of my home, there's always traffic, back-to-back traffic. And I was on the phone with one of my girlfriends, and I saw the brakes. I hit on the brakes, and I hit on the brakes like I would normally do. I should have stopped. The pressure that phone, I should have stopped. Lo and behold, I didn't. And I hit it at an impact where it damaged his bumper, and I had more of the damage on my car. But I was able to drive the car home, drive it to the store, and do everything I needed to do. Well, lo and behold, the following day, the next morning, the adjuster came out and told me my car was totaled. There was no bruises, got no scratches, no nothing. But then my car was totaled. I had my car. And by the way, y'all, Geico is a very good insurance. Got the car. It was totaled. Gave them the title that Tuesday. By that Wednesday, my check was in my bank account, and I got about $150 more than what I paid for my car because my car was paid for. When I say God is awesome, he is awesome. And it's interesting because when I purchased the car, I just replaced another car that was paid off, and something just wasn't settled in my spirit about that car. It just wasn't. But so when I found out it was totaled, I wasn't sad about it. I was at peace about it. when I went car shopping, it was really raining that day, but I through God's grace, I was able to find another one, and I returned to getting a car note. Well, it's interesting because the money I got paid for my car being totaled, I was able to put a deposit on my car and have money left over. So, and my car note is $164. So when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, when I say my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. As I was reflecting out this hiatus, we had Thanksgiving. I have so much to be thankful for. I have family. I have friends. I have even my enemies. I'm grateful for everyone that's come into my life. But what I'm most grateful for is for this gift that God has given us. It's not an easy gift. Well, I won't say, yeah, you could look at it as a gift. There are times in our life when we've had things that's happened, and I'm sure you all know my testimony being a survivor of childhood sexual molestation, and some of the people or some of the guests I've been privileged to have on the show. I've endured a lot of hurt in my life from being into an abusive marriage, being in an abusive relationship with both my children's fathers, just all types of hurt I have endured in my life. And I think about the person that I was then and the person that I am today. And I remember my grandmother. I remember something went down in my home in South Carolina, and someone did something. I can't exactly remember what it was, but I was so angry. And I remember Mama said, "Chyna, when someone gives you stone, you give them bread." I didn't want to hear that at that time. I was so angry, and I was in such a rage. The only thing that I could say, if they give me stone, I'm gonna give them stone back. In fact, I'm gonna throw the stone at them so it can hit them. I just remember my grandmother shaking her head, and all she could do was pray for me. Little did she know, she didn't know I was getting abused at that time, and all the anger I was dealing with. But when I look at myself then, and when I look at all the stuff I've endured, and when I think about some of the things I have gone through, and then I look at myself now, after the heart attacks, after the strokes, after the coming out of remission, after I'm so grateful to God. It was after my second heart attack. I was at Berean Church, and I remember this pastor, he wrote a book. And in the book, it talked about holding the anger and the animosity towards things and people and events that happens in our life. And he talked about the power of forgiveness and letting go. That book really spoke to me. I was in the hospital, and I started thinking the anger I was holding for anything and anyone at that time, it just didn't make any sense to hold on anymore because it was killing me. Literally, it was killing me. And I realized it became infectious, that it became like a cancer in my body, and it just started taking over my life. And when I started thinking about all the other things and anyone who did something to me, it got to a point where it started affecting my health, where I said that was heart attack number two. I had over five strokes. Everything came from some type of stress-related and other health-related, but stress aggravated it. But when I decided that enough was enough and realized the only person I was hurting was me, with all that anger I had pent up, and I decided that it was time to forgive, I remember creating an email to the people that have hurt me some kind of way. And I started my email with, I know this may seem strange coming from me, but I want to ask you to forgive me. And I want you to forgive me for, because I was always told when you ask for forgiveness, you are specific in what you're asking for forgiveness for. As I was writing the email to those particular people, I'm sure they were shocked, but I felt the sense of relief. It was like an elephant being lifted off my chest. And ever since I did that, I felt free. And what I've learned, forgiveness wasn't for them. God finally showed me it was for me. I needed to release all that anger. So all that past hurt, all those past afflictions, all the past pains, everything that was in my past that was holding me, that I allowed to hold me in bondage, had to go. And when I gave it up, I became free. I often wonder, why didn't I do this earlier? But a part of that came from, we have a tendency, I know for me, pain becomes comfortable. We don't like it, but we know it's fateful. And there's a poet named Janix that writes a poem about that. I have to look it up and send it to you all about it, or mention to you all about it. But it becomes comfortable because that's all we know. But you don't have to. So I just wanted to talk about that today and how the power of forgiveness, how it could be such a powerful tool and taking you to a whole new level of blessings, a whole new level of life. So my message tonight is the power of forgiveness. Tonight, I have people joining me to share their own testimony. Because, you know, my show tonight, my show is based on real people, real situations, and real testimony. Because you don't, the only way you can understand it by people who have actually gone through it. So if you're interested in joining into, if you're just tuning into the show, my name is Bettina Kirkendall, Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say if you're interested to listening, you can call in at 914-338-1552. If you're interested in making or sending a message or chiming in, you can text me at 678-887-9441. That number again is 678-887-9441. I won't keep the number. I promise you I will delete it. But because I have so many people calling in tonight, and I thank you so much, you all, for calling in, I'm going to have to ask you all to text me just to say, hey, I'm listening to the show. I would like to say something, and I would really appreciate it. If you're interested and maybe you don't want to be on the air, I totally get it. You can always email me, and you can email me at C as in Charlie, OAF woman at gmail.com. That's COAF woman at gmail.com. Today I had the pleasure of reconnecting with a very dear friend of mine. I met her, we used to work together many years ago, well, I don't say many years ago, but some years ago. When I listened to her testimony, it's just phenomenal, just phenomenal, phenomenal. And I asked her to come on, you know, to chime in and listen tonight. She agreed to do so. And then, of course, I have another girlfriend of mine that's going to chime in a little later. But I am going to bring, as I am getting ready to set up for tonight, I'm going to constantly bring other people on board. But like I said, if you're interested or in tuning into the show, I ask that you text me at 678-887-9441. 9441, 678-887-9441. And if you know someone who could be blessed by this tonight, please have reach out to them and tell them to call us, because I would love for them to join them. I would like to introduce a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Miss I know her as Angie, and I'm just going to let Miss Angie come in and introduce herself in her way. How are you? And Angie, thank you for joining in on Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, and how are you today?
I am very good tonight. And first of all, Sachina, it was just a blessing and an honor to see you again. And thank you. Thank you for inviting me to this. I am sure that I will receive a blessing from this. Most definitely.
And there are others who are going to be blessed by you tonight. Thank you for doing it. We're talking about the power of forgiveness. I'm not sure if you've heard the introduction of what we're talking about and some of my testimony I was given earlier, but we were just talking about how I was just saying how sometimes we just hold and we fester this hurt of the things that have happened with us, and we tend to hold these grudges, and it just starts affecting us in some kind of way. It becomes like a cancer until we decide what are we going to do and do something about it. What are your thoughts?
Well, most definitely, not only do we have to forgive ourselves or forgive others for ourselves, we have to also learn to forgive, actually forgive ourselves.
Amen. Yes.
I know that during my journey, to make a long story short, to the people listening, I had a relationship that was very narcissistic, and verbally and mentally abusive, and I was awakened. God knows how to smack your butt and make you listen to him. And my stubbornness and my will to do it myself, you know, he was like, Angie, baby, I need you to come to me. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this my way. Because, if I do it this way, it'll be okay. And he was like, okay, Angie, go on and do it that way. See what happens. And I went on and did it my way. And then he had to come and smack my little butt and till I was laying on that floor saying, God, I give myself to you, and I will never do this again. And it has been a journey from there. So in that, I started to get back with God and getting back to myself. I totally cut that relationship off. I had to move. I had to kind of just go into my shell. Not a shell like just, you know, curled up and crying, but a spiritual shell. A lot of praying. I learned to meditate. I learned to read the word and really just talk to God. And I talk to God like I'm talking to you guys. And he has delivered me from that. It's amazing how his spirit and his joy and his grace and mercy can come upon you and just make you come alive and come into yourself. So learning to forgive someone, I had to forgive myself. You have to truly forgive yourself, and you have to truly forgive that other person. Just because you forgive that person doesn't mean that you have to go and talk to them necessarily. I know for Fachina, she reached out. In my situation, I know reaching out would not be the proper thing for me to do. However, I still had to forgive, and most importantly, forgive myself. And it has brought me to a whole entirely and better place, a better place spiritually, a better place emotionally. I feel lighter. I feel better. I feel more alive. So I say to you guys, if you have something or someone that maybe you you're very angry at, or they've hurt you in ways, in unimaginable ways, do take the time to talk to the Most High, and take time to find a way to forgive them. If you feel like you can't speak to them to tell them that you forgive them, it's okay. It's okay. But you have to truly forgive them in order for you to feel better. I found myself I felt like I just had a frumpy face. I could be happy and people would be like, "Why do you look so mad?" And I would be perfectly fine at that moment, but I didn't realize how
stuff like that.
Yeah, it just showed on my face.
Uh-huh.
And again, it's almost like stress. They say stress will kill you, and as Regina mm-hmm. said, it took two heart attacks for her to come to realize that what she had to do. And God will put those things in things will happen in your life for you to make that choice. So I just ask that if there's someone that you need to forgive, or you need to ask for forgiveness, to do that, because a lot of times too, you can be guilty of something and you may not know it. But it can impact you as well, because you may have felt bad or about something that you may have done to someone, and you never got a chance to
make
peace. And I just encourage everyone to, you try to make peace. It is a better way. It's a better way for yourself. And we can't ask God to forgive us when we can't forgive others.
Isn't that the truth?
That's very important. And sometimes you wonder why things are going so bad, or things are, you're not happy, or things aren't going your way. Sometimes we have to look at ourselves, deep down in ourselves, and see what's going on with us.
Mhm. Mhm. Wise word. A wise, wise word. But you said something that really hit home for me, and that was, after you forgive others, you have to forgive yourself. Because there are so many times we find ourselves putting ourselves in some type of prison, or we tend
right.
to want to take the role of God and want to punish ourselves. And God's like, can you just ask me for forgiveness? Who are you to do that? Now, I put it in the sea of forgiveness. I'm trying to keep it in the sea of forgiveness, but you trying to keep it on land. Now, I'm just wondering, who got control here? Who has the control?
Right. Well, I know for me, I had to give God the control.
Yes.
Going on my knees and being humble and with humility and being grateful for grace and mercy. That man could have killed me, and God showed grace and mercy to me. And he is so forgiving, and he is so worthy, and he is so lovable. He has really brought me a long way. Even going back when I was younger, I had a bad temper, and over time he brought me from that, but I still had my moments. I have found that meditating, calling on him when people may say things to me that I don't like, or customers or coworkers may, irk me. I try to find goodness in everything.
Uh-huh.
When I feel like I am ready to lash out, I call upon him. And my days are so much better. I have learned to appreciate the good. Instead of complaining about my job, I thank God that I have one. Instead of worrying about how I'm going to maybe pay something, I have learned to trust him, and he always makes a way. I have also learned to thank him and praise him when he tells me no.
Mm-hmm.
To praise him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned to praise him in the middle of strife, good, bad, and remembering to praise him when things are good, to continue. Not just for the bad, but for the good as well. Things will be going so good, and we will forget him.
You're right. We forget. Angie, thank you so much. I want you to hold on into the line because we have some other people that want to chime in right now.
And if anyone has any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them. Whatever is needed.
No problem. I appreciate this. Uh-huh. Hold on one second. But like I said, just like Angie said, the one of the key things she said, sometimes when we are forgiving, we forget to forgive ourselves, and we have to do that. And when we're praising him, we can't just praise him during the good times. We got to praise him during the bad times too. And when you are praising him in the good times, don't forget. Don't get so caught up that you forget how you got there. Because sometimes we get caught up and we forget, and then we start slacking and lacking, But he'll bring us right back. He will do that. So I'm just saying, any one of those, if anyone that could be blessed by this, Sheldon and I, please give them, tell them they can chime in at any time by calling in at 914-338-1552. That number again is 914-338-1552. My name is Puccina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Fond Woman. Like I just thank you all very much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to join in and tune in tonight, because there's so many people that are being blessed.
And just a little praise report, I usually find out who's usually watching the show, and the show is reaching the Philippines. I'm so excited about that. So God is doing some wonderful things, awesome things in this ministry. So I just thank you all for it, because there without you, there is no me, and definitely without God, none of this would not be possible for without his grace and mercy. And I just thank you all for just continuing to be faithful and for continuing to be there for me on the ministry, outside of the doors of the ministry. Just thank you. So I have another caller on the line. Thank you for Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. This is Futina.
Hello.
Hi, Futina. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes, I can. This sounds like Miss Roxanne.
It is.
How are you?
I am great. Not a problem. It's always amazing to be on the calls, and always a blessing to hear other people's testimonies and their life experiences,
yeah,
because they're different. And
mm-hmm.
I just think that we can learn so much from each other. And there's times that people say, well, I never heard that before. Well, you just did. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to come from two places with this. The first was, like, as I was thinking about this topic, some people grow up in families where unforgiveness is taught. Like, a lot of people don't really realize that there's just certain things in life that maybe someone is not taught. Like, they're not taught to forgive, to the point where, someone has offended someone. That person is wrong. Everybody figured out they were wrong, but they will never apologize. They'll just act like it never happened. And unfortunately, I feel that in cases where, let's just say family, you know you're always going to be family. And if you know you've done something to someone, I think it's, I don't want to say a slap in the face, but because I can't find anything else to say. Like, you slap me in the face when you come to me and start talking and act like nothing ever happened. I don't
mm-hmm.
agree with that, because I feel that, like, someone and I had a conversation about it, and they said, well, maybe that was that person's way of apologizing. And I said, no. No. Taking ownership, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel like if you are working on forgiving that person, that's one thing, because that part is for you. But in a case where you have to be around that person all the time, like say they're your mom or your brother or your sister, what they're not going to do, and just for me, what I'm not going to let someone do is just act like nothing ever happened. No, we're going to have a conversation. And our conversation
mm-hmm.
might be, you know, I've forgiven you for this, but I need you to know that we have to have a conversation about this, because you're carrying on with life like nothing ever happened. And I just feel like in cases where you have to be around the person, that conversations need to happen. And unfortunately, I've grown up where I've been around a lot of people that will never admit they're wrong. They won't admit they're wrong. They'll just act like nothing ever happened. Unfortunately, I don't agree with that, and where I'm at in my life right now, and I feel like adults can have conversations, and that's what we need to have. The other
so
thing
with
that
being,
about,
no, before you go there, so what if you don't get that apology? Because it sounds like, you know, what if they don't want to have that conversation? You know, because you do have some people where I've had situations where they're not going to admit that they did wrong, or they may even taunt you about what they did. You know, what do you do? Well, I know what I did, but what do you do, which, since you brought it up?
Well, what I said was, my thing is me telling the person I've already forgiven them, but the point I'm coming from is that that person is coming back to you. They're not necessarily saying anything, but I just feel that I'm going to say we need to have a conversation whether you want to or not. You can't come back to me and just start talking to me all over again like nothing ever happened. That's what I'm really talking about. Not so much the person is off in their own corner and they don't talk to you anymore. I'm talking to people that know they've done something and then they come back and act like nothing ever happened or, you know, maybe she forgot. No, this is my experience, and it was something that one of things that happened recently, and I was just like, forgiving somebody is one thing because forgiveness is for you, but in a case where, say, like, it's your relative and you have to be around this person all the time, whether or not you admit to it or not, and I say I forgive you, I'm not going to allow you to just walk back in my life and act like nothing ever happened. That's my point, is the person is there. They are coming back. They might be trying to act like, you know, they're sorry because they're just going on and acting like nothing ever happened. Like, I guess that's the thing with me, is the person is coming back around. They are there. And, you know, like I said, someone and I had a conversation, and they said, well, maybe that's that person's way of apologizing. And my thing is, that might be, but in this situation, words were spoken. So if you can speak words to me, you can find some words to say. But before I allow us to keep it moving, because sometimes people think that that just means that they can continue to do the same thing over and over again, and I disagree. We're going to have a conversation. You might not want to talk, but you're going to listen. I'm going to tell you this is how it made me feel, even though you never came back to me, even though you never apologized. You might not ever apologize, but I want you to know that I've forgiven you, but I am not going to allow you to do any of those things again. I'm not going to tolerate it. So whether you are sorry or not is really not the point, but it's a conversation we need to have, because I need you to know what I'm not going to tolerate anymore. Whether you, you know, speak or not, when I say we need to have a conversation, you can listen. Whether or not they want to speak is on them, but I'm going to say what I need to say because I want them to know, you know, I have forgiven you, but I need you to know that I'm not going to tolerate what you did to me. So
what if they don't want to have that conversation with you? What then?
They don't have to talk. They're going to listen. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm not going to sit here and read a book.
Have that happened yet?
That conversation, the way that this person is, they're going to sit there and look and listen. They're never going to. They won't say anything, but they'll listen. And that's my point, is you don't have to respond to me, but I need you to hear me.
Yeah.
And this particular person will literally just sit there and listen. They might apologize or might not, but that's just that person. I know that I'm going to say what I need to say, but like I said, at the same time, I'm not going to sit there and read a book. I'm going to be very direct in what I need to say, and that's it. I feel like I need to be to the point. I don't need to read a book, like I said. But it depends on the person. And with my situation, what I'm talking about, they don't have to talk back. They're going to hear what I have to say, though. And that's how I feel about it. But like I said, my thing is, you know, people always say, well, a person might never come back and apologize to you. And that's fine. And I think it's easy to say you forgive somebody who you don't ever have to see again. But what if you forgive somebody who's never apologized and you got to see them all the time? You know, you work with them, or, you know, they live in a house with you. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like everybody has to have some type of process where they deal with this stuff. And I just choose to not allow somebody who's in my life like that to just act like nothing ever happened. And that I'm just not going to do that, because I feel like you need to know I'm coming to you. I'm not going to talk to everybody else about it. I'm going to come to you with it, because if it had to do with the two of us, then we are the two that need to talk. If you don't want to talk, that's fine. But I am going to speak my truth, and that's it, long as I get it out. But again, when I start the conversation off, I've forgiven you, even if you're not sorry, even if you don't think you've done anything wrong. That's the first part of the conversation. But I don't even want to get deep because then I'm going to have to start talking about the situation, that particular situation. But, yeah, I just for me, that's what I'm going to do and that's what I want to do. And in cases, that's what I have done. I've spoken to people and they haven't spoken back. But I feel a million times better because I spoke my truth. And that was that. I got it off my chest. I feel free now because I let you know that I've forgiven you. And I'm just not a pretender. We're not going to pretend. We're going to be real. And if real means we're going to talk about some real adult issues and adult stuff, then that's what we have to do.
Okay. So what about the second scenario you had for me?
The second thing really wasn't a scenario. I think it's more of, I don't want to say explaining forgiveness, but like I was reading over a couple definitions of forgiveness and then thinking through just experiences. I think a lot of people don't understand that the essence of forgiveness, it's a process that you have to go through. You just don't go to bed one night and then wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm forgiving this person. Like, example, if you've been, let's just say someone has victimized you, you know, like you said, okay, an abusive relationship. You've been in that relationship for 5 years and you've been going through this for 5 years. You're not just going to wake up one morning and say, you know, I forgive him. It's a process, and I think sometimes people don't understand that, like, with a lot of things in life, it's a process you have to go through. Like, you're going to have to deal with self, like, peel back the layers of whatever this issue is that's going on, and as far as just being honest about it. I think it's easy to say, oh, I forgive them, out your mouth, but truly deep down in your heart and in your soul, have you really forgiven this person? You know, in some cases, people resent someone, they have no idea why. Yeah, because if it's, you know, let's say a family member, let's say the people that we know that have been victimized as kids, I've talked to people that can't remember what happened. They just know they don't like this person, they resent this person. I feel like you need to peel back the layers. It's a process. You got to figure out what happened, first of all. How can I say I forgive my uncle, whoever, if I don't really truly, you know what I'm saying? I haven't really truly come to grasp of what he did. My biggest point is that it's a process. You know, as long as I'm actively working on that, that's a good thing for me. One of the definitions I found, it said forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense. Let go of negative emotions such as resentment and vengeance, and with an increased ability to wish the offender well. Again, the word process is in there. And then they even use the word victim. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like I have had conversation with people where they feel like, well, you should have forgiven that person already. To me, everything is a process. Your process is probably different from mine. Your process might take less time than mine or more time than mine, but who are you to tell me how long I should take to forgive? If I was abused for 10 years of my life and I'm, let's say I'm 20 and I've never discussed it or said anything, that was 10 years worth of stuff that, you know what I'm saying, that has affected you. And I just feel that a lot of times people aren't realistic about life and realistic about the things that people go through. And you can read the word, but you have to live it. But the other thing is, things in life are a process. You have to actively be working on it. So I don't feel that, you know, when somebody says, oh, that happened, you know, yesterday, why are you still holding on to it? Because it's a process. I mean, like I said, I feel that way because stuff that I've dealt with wasn't overnight things. They were things that took time to get the way that they were. And because I said, oh, I forgive this person, I was saying that, I forgive this person, but I had never dealt with the issues and the things that, you know, that happened. And then once I started truly dealing with the issues, I realized that deep down in my soul, I really hadn't forgiven the person. It was almost like I was trying to act like it didn't happen, like, oh, I just forgot about it. No, I didn't forget about it. I said I forgave the person because I wasn't truly understanding what forgiveness was. And like I said, I didn't peel back the layers of the hurt and the pain that went on.
I think you brought up a good, you know, you brought some good points. I think everybody processes things differently, and I guess it also depends on the scenario of the situation. Like, for instance,
right.
I'll use my coworkers, well, one in particular. When you see how a person is, you just got to forgive them for the simple fact you already know how they are, especially when you see them in the spirit. I had to get to a point with people because I was like, Angie, my temper is very short. Well, it was very short. I will cut you. I will hurt your feelings quickly and worry about, I wouldn't care if I hurt your feelings. I wouldn't care about that. All I cared about is make sure you knew not to come across me again. But as I've gotten older and some of the stuff that I've had to endure at my job, like currently, when God silenced my tongue, I was just very shocked because I was like, Lord, I got to go out like a pump. I mean, that's how I felt. But when I started keeping my mouth shut and let him handle it and just learning to forgive, the more I learned to do it, the easier it became for me. So I get what you're saying about it being a process, because it definitely is a process, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes to forgive someone. I do know that, and I've learned that throughout my journey, because after a while, I just started feeling sorry for her. I really do. Because I also learned that what goes around comes back around, and it comes back even harder than what you put it. And it did. And I just learned to just keep my mouth shut. But my point I'm trying to get at is the more you do it, the better it becomes and the easier it becomes. Is all situations like that? No. No, it's not. It just depends. But it's different. It's definitely, definitely different. It's definitely a process, but the process won't be the same every time. As you mature in Christ and as you mature in your life, the process is going to be different. It's definitely going to be, you're going to find it different as you go along. So all I'm going to say on that is I feel you on that. I definitely feel you on that, and just encourage those who are out there listening to the show, you know, everything and every scenario and everybody is different. You just have to find out what it is. The thing is getting started. Regardless of where it is, what's going on, it's just getting started and staying consistent, because consistency is the key to breakthrough. It is very much so the key to breakthrough. And so with that being stated, what I'm saying that Roxanne, I definitely get what you're saying, honey. But I also know your growth, and I'm just gonna encourage you, baby. You know, just continue to do what you do. I love you. I love everyone that comes on this show, because you all bring so much, and so much, I say, flavor, because every situation is different, because people are out there dealing with all types of scenarios and all types of situations. And when we come together collectively, and it's interesting because I have people that email me that tells me things that's going on. So I'm grateful to have you all here on the line to share your truth. I mean, actually share your truth. I'm actually going to bring Angie back on the line with us, so she can tune in, because she reminds me so much of you, Roxanne, to a degree, because y'all both that, you know, head, now I won't say headstrong yet, well, we all headstrong up on this phone, but just how just y'all are both just beautiful people inside and out, and I love you all for it. So, Angie, I do have you back on the line. I have you back on live with Chronicles. So, but I also have Ms. Roxanne on the line as well.
Yes.
I just think, you know, we're going to have, we have about 5 more minutes or so, and we're just going to have a round table here about, I'm just going to put some things out there. You know, you do have situations out there, and I'm going to ask us if we put our comments down to about 1 minute or so for each, you know, to allow everybody, because God has instructed me to end it a little differently tonight. But I go back to what I was asking Roxanne. What if you don't, you're not able to make that peace the way that you want to have it? What if you don't have that opportunity for them to say, I'm sorry, or for them to even want to listen, or instead of listening, they want to taunt you about the situation. And on top of that, you got to see them all the time. What if? Does it mean that you don't forgive them?
Well,
yes, you still
got to
forgive.
Not at all. You still have to forgive. And also, because Roxanne had very valid points, and you know, even things for me to think of. And when she was saying, she said that she had that instance where she felt like she had forgiven someone, but then when she actually saw them, it was different. And she was like, "Wow, you know, maybe I really didn't forgive them." But I know that I have been in that situation before, you know, years ago, but. What I found is with talking to God and being with Him more and having Him, you know, like literally, you know, I try to just literally have Him on my shoulder. I have found that for me, when I was able to forgive, I felt different. It was like a load came off of me. It was, I knew that I truly forgave, if that makes sense. And I can say that thinking back to the situation that I had before where I thought I forgave somebody and then I saw them and the kind of the resentment came back. You know, I also wasn't walking with God like I am now. So I do believe that it is a process. I think it does take others maybe longer to forgive than others. While my mouth is slick and I had a sharp tongue, I also have a very forgiving heart. But I have also been able, I can forgive, but I don't necessarily have to deal with you anymore either. If I see someone, let's say I have to see someone on a regular basis, I may forgive them, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to just be all up buddy-buddy with you either. I'll be cordial, and I'll respect you, and, you know, we can probably have, you know, maybe surface conversations and things like that, but you know, it may not be what it was. Because in this journey I've had, and I'm so sorry, I promise I'll be short. I have had to learn discernment because I do have a big heart, and I would forgive and let people back in. God has shown me kind of discernment, like that I can't. There's some people that, you know, you have to forgive them and move on. Just because you forgive somebody, it doesn't have to be the same. It's different in it. It's different scenarios and different situations where you have to make that decision. Most definitely.
Yeah, well, God said, you know, don't be no fool. Yeah, that's the bottom line. You don't want us to be nobody's fool now. I mean, yeah, you forgive, yeah, you do the right thing, but don't be nobody's fool. Yeah, and he just says that, you know. God commands us to love. That's my motto, is he commands me to love you, but I don't have to like you. So I respect who you are. I respect your position, but, you know, you go do whatever you need to do, and I'm going to go do, you know, and do me. But, you know, I was reading, and as I was reading, I came across my favorite Bible. It's T.D. Jakes, Woman Thou Art Loose Bible. I was reading this week, and it came across me yesterday. I was in the book of Matthew, I believe it's the 18th chapter to be exact, and 21st verse. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up 7 times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up 7 times, but up to 77 times. And let's see, I'm sorry. There, in the kingdom of heaven, is like a certain man. I'll just stop right there. But the point is, we have to continue to forgive. Now, God laid something on my heart today, actually, yesterday. And as I was praying and just asking God what direction he want me to give, and I just know the power of prayer, and I know this is usually outside of what I normally do, but I'm going to end the show tonight with prayer. And I want to pray for those who are holding on to animosity, those are holding on to past hurt, those are holding on to past afflictions, those are holding on. It's actually coming from my T.D. Jakes book, so this is properly from T.D. Jakes. This is one of his prayers, so I have to give credit where credit is due. And he has these things called soul secrets. And before I go into that, this is for Tina Kirkendall. I want to thank Angie for being on the line. I want to thank Roxanne, and thank you for everyone who has been on the line tonight listening. I've seen you, and then thank you for texting. And those of you who will be emailing me at coafwoman@gmail.com, I would love to hear your comments about the show. That's coafwoman@gmail.com. I'm going to end with prayer, so ladies, if y'all can get ready for prayer. But this is a prayer for women, for when it's hard to forgive. Lord, there's nothing harder than trying to forgive when you have been desperately wounded. It's worse when the offenders show no remorse but gloat over the pain that they have brought to your life. And that's where I am. I do not want to forgive. But I know enough to understand that the command of your holy word is forgiveness, no matter what. You have not given me an option. Help me to realize that unforgiveness can kill. It can kill my friendship, my joy, even my body. So, Lord, I am choosing to forgive all those who have stolen from me, all who have broken my heart, all who have wounded my body or my soul, all who have haunted me for years. In the name of Jesus, I forgive. Thank you, Lord, for strength to walk out this forgiveness in my life. Thank you for using it as a testimony to the power of your love. Thank you for using this as a testimony to the power of your love. And thank you that as I choose to forgive moment by moment, the feelings will flow. I want to reiterate something. Thank you that as I choose to forgive moment by moment, the feelings will flow. It goes back to what was said about it's a process. Just remember that. It is a process. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves you, and so do I. I thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. I will see you again next Sunday at 9:30 p.m. God bless you, and may heaven continue to smile upon you. Good night.